Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
If all my bets were safe, there just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome back to another episode of Behind the Bets with Doug Kazarian, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app. And we obviously did the season preview for the NFL coming up. Coming up on this pod, he's back, folks. John Murray, Mr. Executive Director of the Westgate Las Vegas Superbook, will join me. We're going to talk a little college and NFL for the week one in the NFL, week two in college. Obviously, a condensed schedule for college. And Mike Clay will not be on this week. He'll be on in following weeks. But this week, maybe just go check out his plays for ESPN.com's chalk section. We post a lot throughout the season in that regard. And his plays are always there. So go check it out week one. Didn't want to jam him up too much because we did that lengthy pod the other day. But exciting stuff. We relaunched Daily Wager. We're off and running here in the desert. And Mr. Murray's going to be coming up momentarily. And Baby Bankroll Bonanza returns as well. We have a little surprise at the end. So we'll tease you there. But let's get to the Mr. Executive Director. But before we do, I want to remind everyone that the NFL starts tomorrow. Many of us have already drafted for our fantasy football teams. Make sure you're staying up to date on all your fantasy football news with ESPN fantasy experts Matthew Berry, Field Yates, Stefania Bell, Mike Clay, and Daniel Dopp on the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. You'll get daily strategy previews, injury reports to ensure you have all the information you'll need for your fantasy football team. Be sure to download and subscribe to Fantasy Focus Football and Behind the Bets on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He started as a ticket writer.
Well, the handle has gotten a lot higher here in the last hour.
Now he's a race and sportsbook director.
I have the guys at work here calling me Mr. Director and not looking directly into my eyes.
With people.
Brought in a whole new staff this year. It's kind of a Seinfeld-esque move where we just rotate the guys so the material doesn't get stale, Doug.
What happened in between? A hot tub and ESPN.
Kicking is for losers.
Yes, kicking is for losers, and he is the man who is the executive director. Good to have you back, my friend.
Good to be back. I'm excited to do the show with you again after you kind of blew me off all summer, but a little disappointed. I figured the production values at ESPN would be a little higher. I mean, you guys are using the same lead-in that we had in like 2017. What's going on?
Wow. Wow. Just coming out blazing. Blew you off. I think you blew me off. You're on every network, every podcast, everywhere. And I can't, you know, my people can't get a hold of your people.
No, you know, I've been limiting it really this summer. But I do have like I have wall to wall interviews today, honestly. Just it's nonstop all day long. Football's back and everybody wants to talk about it, even though we actually have a lot of other sports going on. But football seems to be the only sport that people want to have me on their shows to talk about. Nobody cares to talk to me about NBA or NHL, apparently.
Well, but the silver lining is that probably means you're done with all the Zoom meetings for work, right?
Oh, yeah, right. No, we're going to wedge in the interviews among all. I just got off of a Microsoft Teams meeting. Isn't that the hard part? Is like you got ones on Microsoft Teams, ones on Zoom. I got invited to a meeting on BlueJeans the other day. I'm like, what the hell is that? So I got to download this app, jump into that thing. The new normal, I'm not a fan. I'd rather just walk upstairs to the meetings upstairs than doing all these dial-in meetings. It's ridiculous.
Let's bring in our producer, Christina. Christina, when's the last time you've been to the Bristol campus?
I haven't been to Bristol since the beginning of March.
Okay, so 6 months. I was going a little bit in August. Just to do those Sports Center hits, and then I obviously relocated. But you know, Murray, that's just the new world right now.
Yeah,
it is what it is, and
I don't like it, but I don't have to like it, Doug. I know that it is what it is, but I don't have to. Doesn't mean I have to enjoy it. I don't have to like it. I don't like it at all. But I am excited to get back to doing this show, and I'm actually excited that the NFL is back. I really am. It's going to be good to have it back. It's good for business, man. It's good for business.
I know. Usually you complain about the NFL, so this is a change of
Well, we don't really have real college football, not this week. I know you want to talk about college football a little on the show. There's really not that much to talk about. Very abbreviated card this week. There's not a lot of college football future bets to speak to. It's really going to be all about the NFL, except we do have the NBA and the NHL. Saturday, you've got a Golden Knights and a Lakers playoff game. So I think Saturday is really going to be more about college or not about college football and more about hockey and basketball. And then obviously Sunday, everything will be about the NFL.
Yeah, man. So there's so much going on. We obviously relaunched Daily Wager yesterday. My first best bet from the city of Las Vegas was a Golden Knights game. I went the under. But look, man, it was, you know, I'm not going to say grumpy, even though I wanted to transition off that word, but I was a little sad when I first got here, as excited as I was about new beginnings and returning to Las Vegas, a city I love and friends. And I was sad to leave my life in Connecticut. But I'll tell you, man, like the third night we got dinner, you and I and another mutual friend. And after dinner, I was like, all right, I'm feeling good now. Like it was good. It was good to see you, man, in person, and good to be back. And I'm excited to start this next chapter.
It's not all the way back, though. I mean, you know, we really need to get back to the real Las Vegas where everything's open and we can go to Golden Knights games and have some actual fun on the strip like that. That'll be awesome. But I do think that having football back this weekend will get us back to somewhat of normalcy, at least in my industry, in your industry. The sportsbook industry continues to boom, even with all this other stuff going on. The sportsbook industry is booming really as much as ever right now. So we're very fortunate, I think.
No, it's true. And obviously, there are several industries that are not booming right now. And our hearts go out to all those people. And I know you and I have talked off air, just like, you know, we are counting our blessings. So we're going to continue to do our job, so to speak, and have to deliver on this. But, you know, we're all hoping everything turns around. So let's do a quick gloss over of college. This, as I mentioned, the top of this podcast before you got on, we're going to have a little different odd this week, just because I did the NFL preview with the three math male modelers the other day. So I just want to focus on, you know, we're going to combine college and pro, because like you had, you know, hinted towards, it's a reduced college football season this year, so we don't need a separate college football card. So any sharp plays for these conference games right off the bat?
You want to talk about week one? Yeah, there's a little bit of stuff there to report on here. We did see some money coming on the under in the Army game. They're playing Louisiana Monroe. That number's gone from 59.5 all the way to 54. But we had wise guys here betting it at 59.5, 59, 58.5, 58. It's really come down a lot. So be careful, though. Be careful going under 55, 54.5 or whatever is at your book when the wise guys were betting it 3-4 points higher than that. Another one, we saw money on North Carolina. They laid 21 and 22 on North Carolina. They're 22.5 point favorite against Syracuse, ACC opener there. And then I'll go back to the Army game again. Army, they laid 16.5. They laid 17.5. That number's all the way up to Army minus 20 against Louisiana Monroe. But like I said, there's just not that much to talk about yet for college football, whatever this is, week two, college football. There's just not that many games, and there really hasn't been a ton of handle on it. Clemson will be a very popular public side. We had one of our public players laid 32 with Clemson. They're now a 33-point favorite. They're at Wake Forest. But I don't see that game getting a ton of handle just because the spread is so high. But Clemson will probably be throwing in a lot of parlays just because people like to parlay favorites, Doug. Even during a pandemic, they still do that.
Certain things – You can't put a mask or a muzzle on the parlay bettors, right?
No, definitely not. No, it's the same thing every night in baseball. It's just, I always get these texts like, "Oh, who do we need tonight in baseball?" Like, well, we need one of the underdogs to win to break up all the 8-team parlays. Just like it was back before COVID-19. It's kind of the same thing. It's always been in baseball, and college football is like that too. You always need one of these favorites to lose outright in college football because the public loves to parlay all the money lines together in college football, maybe more than any other sport.
Yeah, no, it's just a way to get action on all the games.
I wouldn't advise doing that. I wouldn't advise parlaying all the money lines in any sport, but people like it. People love to do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I go back and forth. I mean, look, I know the edge is not there. You could argue that, like, you shouldn't buy alcohol at the strip or buy sandwiches that are $18. Like, what are you doing? You know,
true.
I mean, there's always a smarter way to do things. At some point, it's where do you draw the line for convenience
So you're implying that compared to some of the vices I have, college football money line parlays are pretty innocuous. I would agree with that.
We should all eat broccoli every day and not eat steak. You know, it's like, there's just like, where do you draw the line? If some people draw the line on parlays, like I sometimes don't, I mostly do. Sometimes I'm like, you know what? I'd like to watch these two games and have that.
Yeah, I can see that. It does work out sometimes. Sometimes our biggest losses as a book are when a guy parlays two favorites together. We had yesterday a guy hit us on a big two-team parlay of two big baseball favorites. He won a lot of money on that, so who am I to judge him for that?
Yeah, and especially if you know the result of the KBO games at 2 a.m. and they're still on the board. That's a parlay you definitely want to make.
No comment. Let's see if we can pivot quickly to something else.
Look, I'm just commenting on a story I wrote, and I'm sourced. Okay. This is not created. I'm the author of that, so I was able to mention that. Okay, so you, I will ask you this. The Army game moved 5.5 points on the total. Is that normal?
You know, I'd call it unusual, but early in the season, the totals are a little bit more volatile. We see that in college basketball, too, where the totals will move a little bit more early in the year. It's not like I've never seen that before. And there are some totals. There are some other totals on the board that have moved 2.5, 3 points. But yeah, it's certainly semi unusual. Usually the books don't, a lot of the books won't hang the totals until the market is a little bit more settled. That's right. Why you'll see less movement in that. You're right. To go down from, I think it was as high as 59.5. To get it all the way down to what it's at right now. Yeah, 59.5. So it's moved 5 points here at the Superbook. So that's a pretty decent move. No doubt about that.
Yeah. Okay, good. But that's an excellent point. I think people should realize a lot of the modelers, a lot of the bettors think it's a softer market in the first month, like more. I'd say, let's say if you bet X amount of games throughout the course of the college football season, like a pro bettor, I'd say about half are usually in the first month. So let's say it's 200 games. I'd say 100 plays through September. And then so if you do like 150, maybe like 70 plays in September, and then the next 80 over the next 2.5 months.
Yeah, when I was a teller here back in 07, there was a guy making bets for let's call him a very well-known bettor. And I swear every time he bet a college basketball total that first month it won. I mean, I can't even remember one time the guy lost. That was a very sharp bettor, very well-known bettor. But then the market gets better, unfortunately, using that word again, but the market gets sharper as the season goes on. So you'll see more movement in this totals market and in the side market here the first few weeks. Plus, everybody is kind of, to an extent, guessing right now in college football. Guys may be not able to play this weekend for all we know. So the information is going to be more valuable than ever this season.
I'm actually very curious to get your take on like, see which guys you notice were playing later in the weekend, things like that, because it's something we talked about on the show. And it's, you know, a guy like Preston's like, look, I'm just going to trust my numbers. I'm making my bets. And I think whatever I get sort of the wrong movement on because of a COVID test or whatever, I'm assuming in the long run, like, the breaks are going to go my way and also against me. And
I think he's doing the right thing, because you've got to think that sometimes, yeah, you're going to get a COVID testing to go against you. Got to think it's also going to go your way. Sometimes you're also going to bet on a team and have their opponent pull guys out of a game. So you just got to trust your numbers and assume that sort of thing is going to balance out over the course of the year.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see what you're seeing behind the counter as the first couple of weeks of the NFL, like, oh, you know, this guy always used to bet openers on Thursday, you know, like, and then now he's coming in Sunday morning. Like, I'm fascinated to see how that all transpires. See, light lifting for a lot of bettors because it's a light card, but now we go to the NFL, which Mr. Murray is excited about, and I am too for that.
All right.
The opener. Here's some fun facts. We get a lot of them now, and I'm going to try to weave them into the weekly pods. But so this was 9 at last check. I think it still is. So basically it's like you're paying a high price for the Chiefs. So their season win total of 12 at most shops. There's only been one other team. So there's only been 4 since the year 2000 have been 12 or higher. The 2017 Patriots were 12.5, but everyone else is 12. Just kind of, this is only the 4th team to have win total this high going into the season. Mahomes is the highest passing yards, has the most over under for passing touchdowns. And in terms of the point spread in week 1 at 9, it's tied for, I believe, the 3rd largest underdog. A team that went to the playoffs the year before is an underdog in week 1. So basically you're playing a good team, and that's the 3rd largest over the last 30 years, a spread of 9 as a dog.
Yeah, and Houston's a team that was, they up 24-0 in the divisional round in Kansas City last year. Deshaun Watson's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I don't think much of Houston's coach. We don't need to talk about that too much. I don't think much of Bill O'Brien, but Houston's a talented team, solid players on both sides of the ball. It speaks to how loaded Kansas City is that they are this big of a favorite. We opened this game higher. We opened this game 10.5. It's down to 9 right now. Every teaser and moneyline parlay that you're going to see this weekend in the NFL is going to start with Kansas City, the Kansas City Chiefs. If Houston could somehow win the game outright, I'm sure it'd be a huge win for us. Kind of reminds me of, I think it was 3 years ago, the roles were reversed. It was Kansas City in this spot as the dog at New England in the Thursday night opener. And Kansas City won that game. And that actually ended up being our biggest win of that entire regular season in the NFL, because every moneyline parlay and every teaser that week, it started with the New England Patriots. And NFL week one is usually your highest volume week of the regular season. This will be a big volume game. Books are going to need Houston. Did see some sharp money on Monday. Group went over 53.5 in this game. Right now we're at 54.5 on the total. So some sharp money there. And then the side is going to be very skewed to the favorite. Already seeing tons of moneyline parlays with Kansas City. Very lopsided ticket count there.
For sure. Yeah, no, that's you can see that coming a mile away. Just get warmed up, tag it to the weekend. That's fun. Okay, so understandable there. Let's just rip through the games because we're not going to do a lot of other stuff. So we'll go to Sunday, Miami, New England. I know a lot of sharps who are eyeing the Patriots here at 6.5. What was this line before? Did you have this line like in May or June posted or all? I can't remember. Did the market have this game?
I think we were at 6. We got as high as 7. It's always kind of been in this neighborhood.
Really?
But
so Cam over 6.
Bounced around a 7. Yeah, but keep in mind, too, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but New England had a lot of guys drop out of this season, too. They had a lot of guys opt out of the 2020 season. A little bit of an upgrade there going from Stidham to Cam Newton. But New England downgraded back a little bit because they've had a lot of players say that they didn't want to play this season.
Right, great point. And you sniffed that out. So it's not one variable that was moving. It was a few variables. So the net may have gone up 0.5 point, but it really maybe would have been like 1.5 around that number.
Did have one guy this morning came in and bet New England to win the Super Bowl at 40-1. He bet 10,000 to win 400,000 on that. So certainly never in my career have I seen New England at 40-1 to win the Super Bowl. I've been out here since 2007, the famous team that went 18-0 and then lost in the Super Bowl. It is strange to see the Patriots at odds like that. We'll need Miami in this game, but I don't think it's going to be a huge decision. I think the public is going to take a wait-and-see approach with the Patriots. They're not just going to rush to throw money in on them like they did during the heyday with Tom Brady.
The guy who put the 10 grand, is he sharp or just a whatever?
He's a guy that we know pretty well. He also bet 10,000 on the Celtics to win the NBA title at 9-2. Maybe a New England fan, I'm not really sure. But he's a guy that has played futures with us here for years. And I can see where he's coming from at 40-1, pretty high. But my concern with the Patriots would be obviously the new quarterback. Not that Brady really played well last year, but the bigger concern to me is how many guys they've had opt out of this season.
Yeah, so the Monday podcast we posted was the NFL season preview with 3 math guys. Aaron Schatz of Football Outsiders was just talking about how severe that was. And, you know, we forget that last year, like the first half of the season, they caught like every team on like a backup quarterback. It was an all-time defense statistically, but it really wasn't that good. It was good, but it wasn't like an all-time like the statistics indicated. So when you lose from that, like, but I still like Belichick, and I think you guys have him at 18-1 at the Westgate. I think if he wins the division, maybe gets 10 wins, 11, I think he wins coach of the year. I really do.
My concern with that would be Belichick. He's one of these guys where everybody expects greatness from him and assumes greatness from him. And he might not get enough credit for a job. Like if he were to go 11-5 and win the division, that would be a phenomenal job. But wouldn't you be a little worried that everybody just assumes he's going to do great and kind of takes it for granted?
Well, I see what your point, but everyone's talking Buffalo, right? And so he's not being assumed. And I think this is the year he might get his due or can like his amazing wins MVP. I think if you do 10 or – because remember, in the spring, he opened as the favorite. At least at Caesars he did, and when I wrote that piece. So they lose Brady, or no, it was after. So they get Cam instead of Stidham. And then he goes from the favorite to 18 to 1. I just feel like it's a little strange, no?
We've seen some money on Belichick. We were as low as 14 to 1. We are at 18 to 1 right now. Couple tickets on him, but he's not one of our bigger liabilities in that pool.
Okay. So who is the liability then?
Actually, it's Cliff Kingsbury, the Cardinals' second-year head coach. Several bets, decent-sized bets. One guy bet 500 on him at 40 to 1 to win 20 grand. I believe he is our biggest liability right now. Brian Flores, Miami Dolphins head coach, also on that list. He's at 25 to 1. Those two have both been hit. We do lose on Belichick, I should say that, but he's not one of our bigger liabilities. It's more Kingsbury, Flores, also Kevin Stefanski, the new Browns coach. I don't know how you could do worse than Freddie Kitchens. He's really kind of moving in. Stefanski, I mean, is moving into a pretty good situation there. I know it sounds funny. We're talking about the Browns, but talented roster, and he's taking over for a coach that almost could not have done a worse job last year. So that could potentially be a good spot for him.
Interesting. So that's some decent liability on that front. Speaking of those Browns, at the next game on the card, a rematch of the game I called outright. Cleveland going to Baltimore and winning outright. I sniffed this one out. There are 8-point dogs at the Ravens, and it's going to be interesting to see how Baltimore plays this year, right? At some point, maybe the Lamar Jackson slows things down and some of the shine is off, but, I mean, they're expected to be loaded this year, and they should be. They're the best kicker in the game. And we'll see about Cleveland with this rookie coach.
Baltimore is going to be a very popular money line parlay option, a very popular teaser option. 6-point teaser taking you from 8 to -2 on the Ravens. A lot of players are going to do that, I think. We'll need Cleveland to win that game. But right now, not a ton of handle in the Cleveland-Baltimore game, at least as we're recording this on Wednesday morning.
Did any line move with the news of OBJ this week?
Not that I've heard of, and I'm not sure what news you're referring to, Doug. I try to stay clear of such things.
Right. So I was just checking in on that. Next game on the card, Jets, Buffalo. Speaking of a very popular teaser, are the Jets as big of a mess as we think they are?
Well, you know, you hit it on the head. The Bills are, that's our most lopsided ticket count of the week, NFL week one. Everybody's on Buffalo. You're looking at almost a 8-9 to 1 ticket count right now on the Bills. We've got the Bills -6.5, -120. I think the perception is after the Jets traded Jamal Adams to the Seahawks that they're waving a white flag on this season. I don't know that I agree with that necessarily, but the perception is the Jets going to be rebuilding yet again. And Buffalo is a very trendy team in the AFC East. A lot of people picking them to win the AFC East this season. We're going to need the Jets pretty big in this game.
Yeah, there's a lot of hype on this Bills team. I don't know, man.
Buffalo, very well coached. Sean McDermott is a very, very good coach. They got a lot of pieces on defense. They bring in Stephon Diggs. They traded a first-round pick to the Vikings for Diggs. It's all going to kind of fall on Josh Allen. You know, I thought Allen was unfairly criticized a lot his first 2 years because it was his first 2 years in the league and he didn't have a ton of weapons. But now he's entering year three. He's got a good team around him. He's got a top receiver in Diggs. There's really no excuses this year for Allen. He needs to take a big step forward this year.
He does, and that's the center of all this. The people who are fading them, is it's all about Allen. And you know, we'll see how it transpires. It's also easier being sneaking up on teams than being the hunted. So, and
sure,
I know that's
sure.
a cliche, but I think there's validity to that. I really do. And I'm interested to see how this all pans out. I really am, but I would say that's going to be a popular teaser play, money line parlay, and I like the 9-to-1 ticket count. That is, that, you know, 6.5's a lot to lay with a total in the 30s, 39.5.
It is a lot, and you know that I'm a fan of Sam Darnold. I really like Sam Darnold. I don't know that there's much around him. I'll put it nicely and say I don't think much of Adam Gase and move on from that conversation, but I do like Darnold, and I think he has a chance to be very good in the right situation. I just don't know if he's in that situation right now with that coaching staff and that team around him.
Yeah, I just don't know enough. I play a little contrarian when everyone's thinking one thing. I'm like, is it really that bad? Maybe the Jets are that bad. We'll see. This is a, dare I say, must-win game for the Las Vegas Raiders. Their schedule is so brutal. We're talking about under 7.5. It's got to be the only way you can play that. And then the division obviously got a little worse with the Von Miller news, but the division's more competent this year. So I'm worried about my Raiders, but this line opened pick 'em. They're now laying 3 at the Matt Rhule-led Carolina Panthers.
I didn't think anybody was going to drop a must win on Wednesday of week one. So I was going to drop some must wins next week after for teams to go 0-1. We got the Raiders -3, -120, lopsided ticket count. You know, this is the first year they're actually going to be playing in town. You're going to see very one-sided ticket counts on the Raiders unless they fall apart. If the Raiders are not playing well, then the public will quickly abandon them and they'll bet against them. But as of right now, very one-sided, almost 4-1 ticket count on the Raiders. We're going to need Carolina for sure Sunday morning.
Now, it's all public on the Raiders?
Yeah, this is just public players. And then we've been moving with the market. You mentioned we had this game at Pick'em. We moved it to -3. And now there was one group that did lay -3, -110 on it. Seems like they got in there a little bit late, but maybe the number will be even higher by kickoff on Sunday morning. Right now we are at 320 on the Raiders.
Where do you think it closes?
You might see some 3.5s out there from books that get a little nervous. I mean, right now I'm looking at the board. Everybody's either at 310 or 320. I guess it wouldn't shock me if some of the books, some of the local books that get a little nervous with their liabilities go to 3.5. And we might even see, you know, maybe for all I know, we might have a big house player come in early Sunday or Saturday and make a big bet on the Raiders. The Raiders are going to be very popular here early in the season. Carolina with a new quarterback, a new coaching staff, the perception is definitely that they're a rebuilding team this year. So it's not a big surprise that the Raiders are a trendy week one pick.
So is it going to become a Golden Knights situation, like the inaugural season?
Well, the Golden Knights also ran to the Stanley Cup final in their inaugural season. Right. So I think people need to remember, why were the Golden Knights so popular in that 2017-18 year? It wasn't just because they were the local team. It's because they were winning almost every game. People thought they were stealing money. And when the Knights were playing at T-Mobile that year, they practically were. They almost never lost a home game in that season. If the Raiders have a season like that, yeah. I mean, we'll be stuck big on the Raiders every week.
Right, right. But I don't think they'll have the advantage of the Vegas flu like they did in an 82-game season. You're not going to have that in a short season. Like they're too professional. At least that's my guess, but you never know. You know, I did a piece with Ed Sammons, interviewed him and some other odds makers about home field advantage and posted today. Obviously, it's the bookmaking starts with the key numbers. But like this line of like Seattle, well, now it's 2.5. But I was thinking – that was a good example when it was like 2. Maybe if Atlanta had a full capacity crowd, that might be like pick them number 1, something like that. But you're not going to like move off 3. So this line's interesting.
Yeah, you're always wary to move on and off 3. Like that, going from 2.5 to 3 is a bigger move than going from 1 to 2.5, which is what we did in this game. We opened at Seattle 1. Right now we've got Seattle -2.5, about a 2-1 ticket count on the Seahawks here in this game. We'll need Atlanta in this game. But I wouldn't be surprised to see some people teasing Atlanta as well, teasing Atlanta through 3 and through 7 up into the 8.5 range. High total might steer some sharp guys away from teasing this game, but we'll definitely be rooting for the Falcons by the time this one kicks off.
When you do that and you say you're the teasing, that's mostly sharps. Doesn't really tease dogs through the numbers of 3 and 7. Like, do they know enough to do that?
Yeah, the sharp guys are always looking to tease through 3, through 7, and they want to do it in a game with a lower total where each point has more value. This is one of the higher total games of the weekend at 49 that might keep some people off of it. But those are the key numbers they're looking for, 3 and 7. So Atlanta will be teased somewhat this week, but it'll be completely overpowered by public money on Seattle for sure.
Right. So, but I just wanted to clarify, you don't normally see the public do those teasers, right? The underdog.
If a public person did that, it would probably just be a coincidence. You know, they probably wouldn't even really know that they were doing it.
That
was a sharper trend back in the day too, before pretty much every book in Nevada raised their teaser juice because of those teasers.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful when we're talking about doing that. You make sure you're laying the appropriate amount of juice wherever it is that you're making your wagers on these NFL teasers. But yeah, the sharp guys, they want to go through 3, they want to go through 7, and they want to do it when there's a low total in the game.
Right, because the value is just, the value of each point is much more significant if it's a lower expected total point scored. All right, next up is your Washington Football Club. Speaking of teasers, yeah, probably a popular teaser as their opponent. It's in the nation's capital, but Philly laying about 5.5 at your shop, 6 at some others. How do you think about, you know, what's your season? What it's going to look like this year?
You know, it might be better for Washington that they're not allowing fans, because if they were, it'd be like, what, 65-70% Philadelphia fans anyway? I don't know that hurts the Washington team at all. We put this game up so long ago that Washington actually had a nickname when we put this game up. We had to close the betting on that and then reopen it with the Washington Football Team name in there. Right now, the Eagles are a 5.5-point favorite. Now, the public is on the Eagles pretty lopsided, almost 6-1. But we have seen the number come down a little bit. It got as high as 6.5. Was it 6 most of the way? And right now, Philadelphia, 5.5-point favorite. We'll need Washington in this game. But it doesn't appear as if it's going to be one of the bigger decisions in the morning. Not right now, at least.
Yeah, I think Washington's going to be a little frisky. I really did.
Very good defensively. They've got a lot of talent. Exactly. In their defense. Yeah, I mean, and Chase Young, the second overall pick in the draft out of Ohio State. We had a guy come in the other day. He bet $10,000 on Chase Young at +2.25 to be the defensive rookie of the year. He's the favorite in that pool. Right now he's at +150. Some really good players up front on that Washington defense. No question there.
All right, next game on the board, I'm going to cash my ticket. Trubisky being the starter for Detroit, Chicago in the opener. This line's moved. It's now Detroit -3. Lions, people are expecting big things from them.
Yeah, the Lions are a trendy team. If you want to talk about a team that a lot of sharp guys are pointing to surprise in 2020, I would definitely look at the Lions. They had a lot of guys get hurt last year. Matthew Stafford, of course, missed a lot of last season. They were off to a decent start before all those players got injured. This number has gone from 1.5 up to Detroit -3, even money, against MVP Mitch Trubisky and the Chicago Bears. Pretty split action here, to tell you the truth. Nothing really noteworthy in terms of ticket counts on this game. I would think the public would bet Chicago, maybe Chicago money line. We've got the money line at +130, but right now, no decision on this game. Very even money.
Next game is fascinating if you're into betting and don't want to watch it. Jacksonville. The allegations of tanking, but you got Gardner Minshew, right? He's he's proven people wrong. Colts are now through the number 7 and -8.
Yeah, and you know what this game reminds me of? It reminds me of that week 1 game last year, Baltimore at Miami, where everybody had written Miami off. They said Miami was going to throw the season. They were trying to lose. Everybody loaded up on Baltimore, and Baltimore won like 1,000-0 in that game. Certainly everybody's betting the Colts in this game. We had a sharp group laid 7.5 on Monday morning. We're at Colts -8 right now. Don't be surprised if that line goes up. Colts will be in every teaser. They'll be in every money line parlay. The books will need Jacksonville big, maybe even the biggest decision of the morning on Sunday by the time everything kicks off.
Wow. And do you think it could hit 10?
I don't know about 10. 10's pretty high. I'm seeing some of the prominent offshore books are still dealing it at 7.5. I would be surprised if it got that high, since it is in the morning time slot. If it was a later game, maybe like if it was a Monday night game, maybe you'd see more parlay action rolling into the Colts. But because it's a 10 a.m. Sunday, I don't think there's enough time for the number to move that much.
All right, here are a couple stats. If you're thinking about going to the bank and betting on this Colts, since the 1970 merger, there's only been 4 teams that missed the playoffs the season previously and were laying at least a touchdown in week 1 the next year, and all 4 failed to cover. Now, I don't know how many changed quarterbacks like the Colts we think upgraded to Phillip Rivers, but something to keep in mind. And Indy is 1-10-1 ATS in the last 12 season openers.
That's not good. That's not good. The Colts are a team I like personally. Not that anybody should listen to my opinions, but that's a team that I like to surprise this season. I like Phillip Rivers. I like Frank Reich. Like that offensive line. I like that defense. I think they're clearly the best team in the AFC South. I think that's a team that could be poised for a pretty big year in the AFC, as long as they can keep Rivers healthy.
It's a competitive division, the top 3 teams. I mean, say what you want about Houston, but they have won this division 4 of the last 5 years. The only year they did not was when Deshaun Watson got hurt. I'm a Tannehill guy in terms of like I think they're like competent in a playoff team with him versus with Mariota. I think it's a three horse race, all things considered. I do like the Colts to do it. I didn't like it at the price, but I think it's gonna be like an under team. I like Rivers passing yards under. I just think they're gonna like grind the clock, lean on their defense, lean on their O line. But I do think they can obviously cover eight against a bad Jacksonville team, but I'm not gonna want to lay a lot of lumber throughout the season.
Talking about an 8-point favorite in what is quasi road game with no fans, the number is already pretty thick. But we did have, like I said, we had a group that we respect laid 7.5.
Right.
So maybe it'll go up near the 9 range by Sunday morning.
All right, next game is fascinating because I'm big on the Vikings this year. I really think they can be a 1 or 2 seed. Now the division is very tough because the floor is higher with the Lions and Bears being the quote unquote the worst teams. But Green Bay should come back to earth. 13-3 last year was really just ridiculous. But you know, it's not like they're an 8-win team, so they'll come back to earth a little bit. I think the Vikings are going to be solid. Like, I really like this Minnesota team, and they're laying 3 here to Green Bay.
We've got it Minnesota 3 even because we agree with you. Now, a lot of books in town are dealing this game at 2.5 right now. I see some other books that are at 3 even, one book at 3 flat. But for the most part, it's a lot of 3 evens or a lot of 2.5, especially in the offshore market. Ticket counts are pretty one-sided to Green Bay, but don't read too much into that because we are dealing the game a little high here at the Superbook because we like Minnesota in that spot.
Interesting. So you're trying to encourage Green Bay money, at least for now.
Yes. So you got to be careful when you hear these ticket count numbers that the bookmakers will spit out during the season. Make sure that it's not because they're just dealing a higher line to induce action. And that's kind of the situation we're in this Green Bay-Minnesota game. We have a ticket count that slants to Green Bay, but that's because we're kind of positioning ourselves to need that.
Now we go to the 4 o'clock games, or as we like to say in Las Vegas, the 1 o'clock games. LAC. See, we're not going to make the mistake. It's the LA Chargers at the Bengals, who unveiled their number one overall pick, Joe Burrow. Chargers laying 3 or 3.5. This is a kind of an intriguing game because the Chargers quarterback play is suspect. Not a lot of people on the Chargers bandwagon this year as opposed to the last handful of seasons. Can the Bengals really be competent overnight?
Yeah, the Chargers just lost maybe their best player for the season, too.
Right.
Their safety, Derwin James, out for the year. Question mark at quarterback. I'm not a big Justin Herbert fan, the rookie out of Oregon. I guess they're going to go with Tyrod Taylor to start the season. Not a big fan of Anthony Lynn. The Chargers are very talented for sure, but there's some big question marks there. Not a lot of handle in that game so far. Right now we've got – I almost said San Diego. We've got the Chargers -3, -120, down a little bit from 3.5. We'll need the Bengals in that game, but I think this – there's another game at 125 on Sunday that's going to get all the money. So I don't know that this is going to be a big decision for us.
Okay, I'm assuming it's not the next game. Arizona, no. San Fran – Niners laying the full 7 at home. Look, we talk about Super Bowl hangovers. I think this team's still really good. Now, are they going to go to the Super Bowl? That usually doesn't happen if you lose the Super Bowl. But this team was up double digits at the Super Bowl. Let's not forget that. They could very, very easily be the defending champs, but they're not. And Kingsbury and the Cardinals come to town with a new toy for their quarterback, and that is DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, and I saw they just signed DeAndre Hopkins to a 2-year extension yesterday. He should be happy. I like Kyler Murray. Kingsbury, a trendy pick for Coach of the Year. A lot of talent in Arizona on that team. I don't really see why the 49ers wouldn't be very good again this season. They've got all those good young players on defense. Nick Bosa, maybe the best defensive player in the league. Right now, actually, the players here at the Superbook are betting Arizona. We've got Arizona +7, -120. I'm sure by the time this game starts, though, we'll need the Cardinals because you'll have – a lot of surviving money line parlays from the morning going into San Francisco in the afternoon.
So you're saying the players, the sharps or the recreational players?
It's mostly, I would call them recreational players. Okay. Just looking at the dollar amounts being bet here, it's a lot of $300, $400, $55 bets on Arizona.
Okay. The next game I would imagine is the one you were alluding to. And it is fascinating to me. Truly fascinating. It's the Saints hosting the Tampa Bay Bucks with Tom Brady at the helm. What did this touch? 6.5 at one point this summer?
Yeah, and I think you're going to like this, what I have to say about this game. We never got that high. We were more like in the 4 or maybe 4.5 range because we always knew that everybody was going to bet Tampa Bay. And this is the game that I believe sets up to be the square dog of the week in the NFL. The public is going to come in on the Buccaneers. The straight bet count here is 3-1 on the Buccaneers. And this is going to be a very, very high volume game. My guess, the second highest volume game of the weekend in the NFL, with the Sunday night game being number one. The books are probably going to end up needing the Saints. I think the public is going to definitely look to bet on Brady. They've made some other big name signings. I don't know how much Leonard Fournette or LeSean McCoy really does for you, but the Bucs are the team that are getting all the love in the media this offseason. And the public's going to be betting on the Bucs pretty hard on Sunday.
So the numbers come down. Maybe not your shot, but it was higher, right? It's coming. It was at 6 or so, I want to say. But so here's some, we remember, and anybody who's been in survivor pools knows, is familiar with this. Remember, the Saints have blown up some survivor pools within the last few years, a couple times. Okay. Last year, they did escape on Monday night against the Texans, barely. Previous year before that, I think they lost to Jameis and the Bucks, either week 1 or week 2. They've lost other years. So how about this? They have failed to cover 6 straight season openers, 1-5 straight up. So they've lost 5 of their last 6 season openers. And keep it, it's same quarterback, same coach. So the last 10 years, they're 1-8-1 ATS in openers. Last 6 years, okay, weeks 1 and 2, 1-11 ATS, 2-10 straight up. I mean, this is a team that's been the gold standard, right? That could have gone to the Super Bowl a few years, right? With the Rams debacle, even last year with the Vikings. You know, they've been right there. They're the gold standard. Breeze was in the MVP discussion a couple of years ago, and here they are losing openers and can't cover a single game to start the year.
Well, they should have gone to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. I mean, they got totally robbed in that NFC Championship game against the Rams in New Orleans. But, yeah, they've gotten off to some slow starts. I can remember, I think it was that same year, they lost opening week to this Tampa Bay team with the great Jameis Winston at quarterback, and then they should have lost in week 2 to the Cleveland Browns, but the Browns missed an extra point to keep them in the game. So the Saints have been known to get off to very slow starts. There's no doubt about that. Tumultuous offseason in New Orleans as well. So I do think the books will need the Saints to show up here, and it's going to be a monster handle game in the afternoon with a lot of money coming in on Tampa Bay.
How could you forget your RG3 performance for Washington when they stunned the Saints too?
That was in 2012.
Hey, you know, like I said,
I don't know how far back you want to go.
That blew
2012,
up
yeah.
As well.
Yeah, good point.
Okay, so yeah, that figures to be a big handle game. And then Sunday night as well, we've got America's team against LA's team. Dallas laying 3 on the road in the new stadium in LA.
Yeah, everything's going to roll to Dallas in this game. I mean, don't be surprised if this number goes even higher. We were at 2 about a week ago or earlier this week. We went to 3 even right now on Dallas. I think you're going to see 3 flat on this game. A lot of the parlays, many of the parlays that survive, I'll say, I'm not going to say all, are going to go to the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday night. Dallas, very trendy pick this year. A lot of people like them. They finally got rid of Jason Garrett. I'm not a big Mike McCarthy fan, personally, but anybody's an upgrade from Garrett. The Cowboys, very trendy pick.
Yeah, so I think the Cowboys are going to be really good this year. And like you said, I'm not big on McCarthy, but he's an upgrade over Garrett. And even if Garrett wasn't like bumbling stuff, I just think at some point you need like a clean slate. Like Andy Reid had to go get out of Philly. You know, at some point you kind of need to like turn things over, because in college the players turn over, so you don't get stale like you do in the NFL. So I think at some point I just think it's time that Jason Garrett to go, especially when you go 8-8 with the team that good. So I'm big on Dallas. Kellen Moore returns, so there's some continuity with the offense, which was just great last year, and add CeeDee Lamb, so they're going to be even more potent. Mm-hmm. I'm just not believing like the Rams are that good. Like, I don't believe in Jared Goff. I don't believe now he's going to be okay at home with McVay and all this, but I think you have to lay it before you do anything. Where do you think this line closes?
I don't know that it'll close higher than 3.5. I mean, 3.5 is very high for this spot. The Rams are still a very talented team. They're gonna have their day where they're gonna have to answer at some point in the future, because they've traded all their first round picks the last few years. So a couple of years from now, the well's gonna dry up for this team, and they're just gonna be awful. But for now, they've still got a lot of top players, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, guys that are in the primes of their career. They've got a very good coach. I don't want to completely write off the Rams. I don't see this number really being higher than 3.5.
Okay.
But Dallas is a very trendy pick this year, and a lot of money is going to roll to Dallas on Sunday night. I will say when we first opened these numbers, we did have a respected player took three with the Rams. I thought at the time that he should have waited. Because I believe it'll go higher than three. But he's a guy that we really respect, and he knows what he's doing.
Well, I usually know what I'm doing with some of these line moves, especially like the week one. Remember, I had a huge like 3-point middle. It was actually with Rams a couple years ago. I knew this line with the Steelers would go up. I even texted Ed. I go, where do you think this line closes and touches? And he said 5.5. I said, it might go higher. And it is already higher. Pittsburgh now laying 6 at the Giants. I'm so mad I'm not sitting here with like a monster middle. But I'm not. So Pittsburgh at -6. Now that I think the Giants are going to be competent on offense, and at least if not the start, they will eventually get there. Their schedule's awful, just awful. This could be a 4 or 5 win team, but obviously they could be much better than what their record might indicate. But I think it's a tough spot. I think the Steelers are ready for this year. They finally get Big Ben back. They're focused. Fitzpatrick the whole year. I think this is a good spot to back the Steelers. Now, whether they cover 6, I'm not sure.
Well, this number was as low as 3.5. I'm not trying to rub salt in your wound here, but yeah, right now it's at 6. We were at 5 on Monday. We had a respected group laid 5 with the Steelers. You know that the parlays are going to run to the Steelers Monday night football in this spot. Pittsburgh's a team really overachieved last year. If you look at the just god-awful quarterback play they had between those two stiffs, Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges, neither one of those guys could play a lick. Mike Tomlin deserves a lot of credit. They almost made the playoffs last year. So now if you think that they're going to get back a healthy version of Ben Roethlisberger, T.J. Watt emerged as a defensive player of the year type guy for them last season. Minkah Fitzpatrick came over from the Dolphins, really solidified their secondary. A lot of talent on defense. If they can keep Big Ben upright, there's really no reason why the Steelers can't be a Super Bowl contender.
You know, it's hard to argue with that. I mean, their division is tough. That would be the reason. Obviously, the Ravens
tough.
Are the favorite, and the Browns are in the mix, too. Not sure of the Bengals, but they could be a disruptor. You never know here and there. So, the total on that one's 47.5. This Monday night, the second game, is wherein our new team, Steve Levy and Brian Greasy, Louis Riddick, three guys I really, really enjoy listening to, will be calling. Their first game in Denver, no Von Miller, likely out for the season with Tennessee laying under 3, -2.5 here.
Interesting game here. We actually opened Denver -2.5. We liked Denver coming into the season. I still like Denver, even though they lost Von Miller. And when we opened it, but we had it at 2.5. We actually had a guy come in and bet $5,000 on the Broncos, laid the 2.5. But that number is completely flipped. Tennessee now a 2.5 point favorite on the road. They bring in Jadeveon Clowney. The Broncos lose Von Miller. Don't look at it as that big of a line move, though. I think it's important to note that all these numbers between 0 and 2.5 are not as important as many other numbers when you move across 3, across 7, et cetera. But big line move here. The books are going to need Denver, especially after the news of Von Miller being out for the season. And today we actually had a guy come in. He went under 7.5 wins on the Broncos. He bet $27,500 to win $25,000 on that. So the perception right now is a down arrow on the Broncos with Von Miller being done for the season. Bradley Chubb maybe not being 100% at the start of the year. People are looking to fade the Broncos for sure.
They had the best red zone defense in the NFL last year. I know that from your colleague at another sports book, Alan Berg, told me that for my piece on home field advantage. And it was true. And they said sometimes crowd noise is actually more about the defense than anything. I mean, the skull chance for the Vikings, they're top 3 in red zone defense for 3 straight years.
Denver could be a good teaser option here, Doug. You got +2.5. You can go up to 8.5, total of 41.5, depending on what price you get on your teaser. Remember that. It's very important. But the Broncos could be a good teaser option for you if you've got favorable pricing at the shop you play at.
Yeah, good point. You could definitely, if you get the -110, that's enticing. All right, good stuff, Mr. Executive Director. We got one more thing to take care of.
It's time for Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
It's that time of the show, my friend. Don't you need? I need like a long, skinny mic for this. It's the game show theme here. It's another season of Baby Bankroll Bonanza, and it's another season of not knowing exactly the rules going in.
What baby are we playing for this year? I mean, I know a couple years ago we did it for Kai and his lovely family, but do we even have a baby in mind this year? My sister Jessica is having a baby in December.
Boom. There
so
you go.
So maybe we should do this one for her little girl who will be born, supposed to be born about a week before Christmas. So maybe this year it's all for Adam and Jessica's baby girl.
Hold on. So is this breaking news, or have you discussed this on any?
Oh, no. Oh, have I discussed it on any other podcast? I don't think I've discussed it on another podcast, but it's something that all of our family and friends are aware of.
So there wasn't like a destructive baby reveal for that? You just found
no,
out?
No. I won't. No, we decided, Jessica and Adam decided that they were going to do a baby gender reveal without starting any forest fires.
Good.
Which
good.
I thought was very nice of them. Very responsible.
Well, congratulations to the Murray family.
Thank
That's
you.
Wonderful. And to Adam and Jessica. And yes, they will be the beneficiary of our gambling. So I'm excited for that. Because otherwise,
I've already bought the baby a ton of stuff. Right. Well, you know, I've already bought the baby a ton of stuff, but I guess I could buy more. Sure. Yeah, let's do it.
Or maybe next year, the loser of our contest has to become the provide, you know, create the, you know, maybe procreate or something like that. Real.
Bet, oh, boy. Now I really am going to have to pay attention this season in the NFL.
Get married and the kids, right?
It'd be high stakes, man. It'd be pretty high. It'd be a lot more high stakes than get these guys that get a tattoo when they finish in last place.
I was going to say, some of those crazy tattoos and everything. Okay, well, we have a bankroll. We'll figure it out. We'll talk off air and figure it out for next week. It's going to be around like $5,000 or something like that. Maybe rebuys it. Okay. That's what we got to figure out. But sounds like both of us are going to start slow. You won last year. I will let you on the tee box first.
Not a ton I like this year. I will, like I mentioned earlier in the show, that a lot of our guys here like Minnesota week one. They're at home against the Green Bay Packers. I'll do Minnesota -2.5 for 1,100 to win 1,000. And that's all I'm going to do for week one here. I'm going to dip my toe in the water. I think you got to be careful this year in the NFL because you don't know what's going to happen with the testing, guys potentially being ruled out at the last minute. If you're in an NFL contest this year, I would really recommend, even more so than ever, putting your picks in at the last minute. We are taping the show on Wednesday morning in Las Vegas.
So hold on. That's interesting because earlier when I told you how Preston was just approaching his numbers, they're going to play and see what shakes out. And
yeah, well,
here you are saying,
let me stop you right there. If you're in a contest, you've got frozen numbers to play with.
Correct.
So Preston might think that his numbers are better than the market and he's going to beat the market. That's why he can make his bet on a Monday. Whereas if you're in a contest, we're putting out Super Contest week one lines here in about 2.5 hours at the Westgate. I'm going to jump on VSIN with our friend Matt Humans to talk about those. Be careful putting in your contest picks early. There's no reason to do that this year.
Yeah, sorry. So you had kind of like, I took it as two. So obviously contests, you should always wait all the time. There's injuries. I mean, what happens if this Von Miller news just surfaced Friday, right? Like you just don't know.
Sure.
So I always say that. But I thought you were saying that like you got to be careful in the NFL just in general.
Well, I could be saying both. I think right. We're both right. I mean, I think you always got to be careful. And this year in all these sports, you don't know what's going to happen with the COVID testing. But I think I was just mentioning more. It was kind of just a super contest plug. I tried to wedge it in there clumsily.
Yeah, well, you're a savvy veteran.
Very clumsy wedge there. But, yeah, I do think if you're in a contest, you should be waiting till the end in 2020.
What is the premier contest? So I encourage everyone to keep an eye on things and participate if you are able to get down here in time and get a proxy.
Yeah.
I have one play as well. I'm going to take – you know, the Golden Knights was my first ever best bet in Las Vegas. Well, my first ever podcast bet is going to be on the other Las Vegas professional sports team, and that's the Raiders, Carolina, over 47.5 for a nickel, only a nickel here.
I can't believe that I'm putting out more than you are in week one. That's very off-brand for both of us, I'd say.
Should I do a live betting middle and just come out of the gates scorching with the Chiefs -9?
I can't. I can't tell you what to do, but that would be more on brand. I think that's what the listeners are expecting you to do.
Yeah, I mean,
but you can throw them a curveball here week one.
It was like -3.5 at Houston or something like that. I think it's tough to do the middling at not around the 10s and 11s.
Fair enough.
Stuff like that. It's not. Look, I think the night I hit it with that Colts game, I think we backdoored 10, to be honest. It might have been 7. But
it was a cool. Was it New England, Miami, or New England, Indianapolis? Excuse me. Yeah, I do remember that.
Fourth down, grabbed the tight end. It was like I nutted it, and then Twitter blew up, or I mentioned blew up by my standards. Yeah. Blew up. But I'll wait. Maybe we'll have to get involved that Monday night. I mean, the Steelers would be a good one to be honest, but it's sick. don't know how much time.
Six seems like a lot in that game to me. I know what you're saying, though. They could theoretically get out to a lead, but some of our guys here do think the Giants are going to be an improved team this season. And
I do, too.
Six is a pretty big number to lay, I thought, in that game. But like I said, we saw a sharp group lay five, so maybe I'm wrong.
Well, the market moved to six, so five's looking good. But, I mean, six is sort of a key number. The last 5 years, the most common outcome margin of victory was three. It's 14.4% if I'm going off memory. Second most is seven, I think. Third most is six. And then fourth most was 14. That was interesting. So, like four was not even among the top five margins of victory in the last 5 years.
Well, I know that five is not a key number at all, but I guess, I mean, six can be considered a key number. And you might be able to, like you said, you might be able to play out of that at some point if you do lay six.
Well, but that would be the only
I think you're gonna find better spots than that this season. And I think week one, these numbers have been out for so long. These numbers have been out for months. They've been hammered into shape for months. I think you're going to have better opportunities here over the next 16 weeks in the NFL.
I would agree with that, my friend. Great to connect. Mr. Murray, congratulations to your sister, Jessica, and Adam. Wonderful news on that front. What a way to start the new season. Good to have you back. Good to be able to see you in person from time to time. And good luck to both of us.
Yeah, buddy. Good luck this week.
Kicking is for losers.
All right. That is in the books. Week one for the NFL with Mr. Murray. Obviously, big news with his family. That's great. And now we know what we're playing for. The risk to give a gift to the, at that time when the season's over, the new parents. So that'll be wonderful. All right. So thanks to everyone. Like I said, content on ESPN.com's chalk section. A lot of plays there. A lot of info. My column that I wrote about NFL home field advantage is up and able to be read. And then also we have the other podcast this week, obviously shelf life for a while. Go check that out. That's with Preston Johnson, Mike Clay, and also Aaron Schatz, Football Outsiders. And we will catch you back here next week.